Good afternoon. Welcome to the weekly livestock market update. I'm Brownfield anchor reporter Megan Grubner with us as always to talk all things markets, University of Missouri, Scott Brown. Good afternoon, Scott.
Good afternoon, Megan.
We're going to talk a little bit about trade this week, a little bit about supply and demand as well. But before we get into those, let's recap what happened this week in the markets.
Yeah, on the cattle side this week, live fed steers down a dollar this week. Those feeder cattle markets, again, we started the week with Labor Day, so some of them were closed, but we're going to call them generally 3 to 5 lower this week. On the futures side, the October live cattle futures contract closed down $1.15, and the October feeder cattle futures contract closed down $4.60. On the beef side, the choice box beef price this week was down $6.50. That still leaves it $110 above where it was a year ago at this time, so relatively high choice box beef prices. On the hog side, barrel and gill prices were down $1.20 this week. The October lean hog futures contract took a dive down this week, down $6.80. Well, the pork cut value was unchanged on the week.
All right, slaughter numbers obviously down significantly from a week ago, but a lot of that to do with the holiday weekend. Where are we at this week, and how are we stacking up to year-ago levels?
Yeah, so for the week ending September 11th, USDA is saying 577,000 head of cattle will be slaughtered. That is 47,000 head below a week ago, so down about 7.5%. Again, that's all due in part at least to the Labor Day weekend. We're down 4,000 head from where we were a year ago. And on the hog side, a run of 2.274 million head. That's also down 117,000 head, or nearly 5% from a week ago. 64,000 head less than a year ago.
You and I spoke early last week as my family headed off to vacation early on Friday morning, and we talked ahead of the monthly trade data. As we take a look at those numbers, can we talk about those and how it's looking for the export side of things with pork and with beef as well?
Yeah, so if we start with the beef side, it's hard not to be optimistic when we see those July numbers that we got out last week. I think on a value basis, it was a record high in July, roughly $150 million, which is nearly 50% above where it was a year ago at this time. When we look at some of the quantity information, total beef exports, 45 million pounds above a year ago for July, and that's 55 million pounds above where we were the 15 through 19 average. You know, if we look at year-to-date numbers there, also some good news in terms of what we see on the beef side, that leaves us 473 million pounds year-to-date higher than where we were in 2020. Of course, China, the right country out, is responsible for 222 million pound of that January through July year-to-date growth. So China continues to be a strong market. For July, they were up about 36 million pounds. When you look at exports to Japan and South Korea combined, really unchanged, down about 4 million pounds, being the other piece of that. On the pork side, total pork exports for July, we're down 47 million pounds relative to a year ago. That is due, again, in large part to what was roughly a 100 million pound decline in pork exports to China. When you look at year to date on the pork side, you know, we are talking about being down slightly relative to 2020. As we've seen some other markets pick up some of the slack that is the 500 million pound decline in pork exports to China. Mexico's been one of those markets that up 207 million pounds, helping offset what's been some lower trade with China.
How much are we still watching the African swine fever picture, and not only the impact on what's going on with pork globally or pork demand globally, but also the beef segment as well? And I think about beef in China for numerous reasons, but are we still seeing impact from African swine fever in those areas?
So I think that we have to answer yes to that. I think trying to dissect exactly those impacts are hard. ASF cases in China continue to, in some days you'll hear rumors of additional cases. I keep saying, what about ASF here in the United States if that were to ever happen? You know, all of those are big wild cards to the trade side. This is one where ASF in a number of these other countries probably helps the United States. However, an ASF outbreak in the U.S. is certainly going to be detrimental to our ability to export products for a period of time. I do think it's helped on the beef side, although I think it's more than that when we look at what's going on beef. You know, to me, some Chinese consumers have had a taste of some higher quality beef products coming from us, and I don't think that demand goes away anytime soon. I could see expansion in beef exports to China continuing for many months into the future. And I think that's one of the big positives we can talk about when we get to talk about cattle markets in particular.
Supply and demand came out this week. And let's take a look at those numbers and how we translate it back to what it means for the bottom line for producers.
Yeah, so I think the biggie here, well, I shouldn't say biggie, but effects we can certainly talk about. First off, the crop side, you know, USDA raised corn planted acres in this September WASDE by 600,000 acres. They increased yields to 176.3, so 1.7 bushels higher, increased corn production. On the soybean side, they actually reduced soybean acres by about 400,000 acres of planted. They did increase yields by 6/10 of a bushel. So combined effect of those two things still raised soybean production by 35 million bushels in September. For me, the good news for livestock producers is they reduced their expected corn price by 30 cents to 5.45, and they reduced their soybean meal price estimate for 2021-2022 by $25 a ton. So feed costs becoming more bearable, still talking about higher feed costs than we've seen for a while, but maybe not as high as we expected a few reports ago.
One thing I want to talk about real quick before we let you go today, we continue to talk about drought conditions. As we take a look at that in the big picture, how much are we still watching its impact in parts of cattle country and what it means as we look ahead?
Yeah, so I don't think, you know, it's changed all that much from our discussion in the past. I see the 2021 drought being one of the biggest drivers of where cattle markets go late 2022 and beyond, and could really lead us to some much higher prices longer term once we get cattle supplies moving lower. You know, that's not going to occur overnight. I think we see a beef cow herd come January 1 that's 1 to 1.5% below where it was at the start of 2021. Those fewer calves, all of that working its way through the system, I think eventually could give us some big push in cattle prices. Without, I think we would have still seen increases in cattle prices going forward, but I think the drought's going to have accelerated the opportunity for some higher prices. And I think it changes the mix between levels of the chain that we can talk about on the cattle side of the equation, where packer margins have been, you know, relatively wide versus historical levels. I think those could change as cattle supplies tighten and packers have to bid harder for those remaining animals, on top of what's going to be likely some expansion in shackle space in the cattle industry as we look into late 2022.
All right, there will be plenty for us to talk about in the coming weeks and months. Scott, good to see you. As we look ahead to next week, which reports do we have?
Yeah, so next week we'll get some demand side information. We get retail prices early in the week, and we finish next week with consumer sentiment.
All right, we will talk to you then. Always great to see you.
Great to see you as well, Megan.
12-hour weekly livestock market update delivered to your email box every Saturday morning. Go to brownfieldagnews.com. You can also submit questions and comments there. and for some great podcasts and listening material while you're in the cab of the tractor, combine, or your truck, go to brownfieldagnews.com/podcast. Have a great weekend. I'm Megan Grebner for Brownfield.